Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Good afternoon. It's Heather here for the SDA Housing Podcast, which is a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things specialist disability accommodation in the ever-changing NDIS world. This show is brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. And today we are very fortunate to have with us in our little studio here, Lorraine Hollett. Lorraine has been with us for nearly 3 months now, and she's been so busy on the ground that this is the first time we've managed to actually corral her into a time frame to sitting down with us for this podcast. So we're very, very fortunate to have Lorraine here. I will be asking Lorraine lots of questions about her background because she's got a very, very colourful and diverse background. And I will let her talk through all of those things because I'm sure you'll find that as interesting as I have. So first of all, Lorraine has come to us from a very, very similar NDIS environment. And so I would ask, maybe as a starting point, how does Lorraine see the difference between where you were before and where you are now?
Excellent. Well, first off, thank you so much, Heather, for having me. I really appreciate it. And you're right. I hit the ground running when I got here. So this is really the first time we've been able to have a bit of a chat. So appreciate having me on the podcast today. So yes, I've been here almost 3 months now. So I'm still in the probation period. So I better behave myself and say some nice things.
I think the latest day.
About NDIS Property Australia, but it has been a great journey so far. But you're right, I came before coming to NDIS Property Australia. I worked for a similar organisation for just over two years in a real estate company that specialised in selling SDA house and land packages, mainly here in Southeast Queensland. And they, as I said, just specialised in house and land. I actually started off there not wanting to be in sales. I was mainly in an admin role, managing the office and the affairs. But I was always hearing about NDIS, SDA, and listening to the other sales staff talking about it. So I really started to do a deep dive into exactly what it was all about. Like a lot of people on this podcast, they probably heard about it, but they don't really know a lot about it. So I made it my mission to read everything I could and find out. And then eventually I went to the boss and said, I'd love to get involved in the sales side as well, because I could see that, yes, there was a demand for SDA homes and I wanted to be a part of being able to find a solution for people, you know, people with a disability who were struggling to find, you know, their forever homes. So after 2 years, I decided to have a bit of a break, and I was actually going to start my own business working from home, basically as a virtual assistant, touching on this space. And as luck would have it, I had a phone call from Ming, the director here, to come in and have a chat. Cut a long story short, he offered me a job. It was too good to refuse. So I said yes, and I've been here since January of this year.
I believe he actually hired you on the spot, from what I hear.
Yes, he did put me on the spot, literally. Yes. And I said, yes, look, I'm pretty keen to start with you, but let me have a think about it over the Christmas period. Obviously did, you know, my due diligence and research, and I was particularly impressed with the knowledge that this company has put together in such a short period of time, not the least of which are these podcasts. I, you know, listened to them whenever I was out on my walks with my earphones in, and the information in these podcasts was astounding, and that so many people, you know, from developers, builders, participants, SDA providers, everyone was all willing to share their knowledge, collaborate, work together, because as you said in the intro, this is an ever-changing area. And if we all work together, we've all got the same goal, and that's to make people with their disabilities' lives, you know, much better and give them the choice and control that this is whole NDIS was created for. So yes, it's been an interesting 2.5 months, but I think the main difference is that where I was before, we were limited to, you know, a small stock list. Here, I mean, another thing that amazed me apart from the podcast was the stock list was so varied, and it was Australia wide. And that NDIS Property Australia work with so many builders and developers, you know, they come to us asking if we can collaborate and work with them, get their message out, share their packages. And in all areas, not just one category, but, you know, the whole four categories. Another thing that I think is very valid, because investors want choice as well. They want to be able to choose from either, you know, a small apartment villa right up to 3 or 4 bedroom high physical support home. So certainly lots of choice there. And, you know, the stock list is growing constantly. So one of the first things I do in the morning is just see what new stock has hit our stock list. Look, check the emails, and there's always new stock coming in. You know, today we've got some new stock in Perth, the other day in Melbourne. So, and I'm from Adelaide originally, South Australia. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for South Australia. We've got some really good stock there as well. So
if I was to look at your story and I was to drop in halfway through your story, it would lead me to reading about your real estate journey. So I'm interested to know if you're working in an office where you're in an admin role and you've got a real estate background, what did that feel like knowing that you've got all that knowledge base? And was that something that drew you into this SDA space? Like having that prior real estate experience, working in an environment where obviously you're hearing all the lingo of that diverse world, and then thinking, you know, do you want to dip your toe back into the world of real estate? And what was it that drew you into SDA? Because it is such a diverse world. What was the little trigger that said, yes, I want to do that?
Well, certainly my real estate background has set me in good stead for this new NDIS journey that I find myself on. So I started in real estate in Adelaide, as I said, my hometown, working there as a normal, you know, residential real estate sales person. So I cut my teeth for a few years in Adelaide. My partner and I then moved up to Queensland. I thought I would take a break from real estate for a while and dabbled my toe in other businesses, did a bit of retail as well, did some businesses working from home. But yeah, real estate drew me back again, and I went back into real estate and was offered this other job specializing in NDIS. So what I like about this is it is a niche space. With real estate, it's so big and diverse, whereas this, I can just hone my skills and expertise in this one area. And it is such a good area. It makes a social impact, literally can save people's lives in a lot of respects. So it's great that I'm still in real estate as well. And yes, there's a lot of, you know, real estate lingo that we use a lot, but it is a niche area, NDIS, and it's always growing. There's lots of information that's coming through all the time. We've got to keep up to speed with it, but I'm loving it. I've always been the sort of person that I love to stretch myself, get out of my comfort zone, because that's where the excitement is when you get out of your comfort zone. So NDIS is certainly helped me expand my knowledge base in the general real estate area, but more so, you know, in new properties. That's something I wasn't involved with, off the plan properties. They were all existing homes that I sold in the past. So, you know, another new area, selling things off the plan. Yeah, so it's exciting. It's always changing. There's, you know, talking to different people every day from all over Australia, whether they are seasoned investors or, you know, getting into the investment space for the first time. Actually had a gentleman on the phone this morning in Adelaide, as it happens, and his accountant mentioned, you know, that he was, you know, earning a lot of money, been working hard and time to invest, and he suggested that he look at SDA property. So the word is out there. Yeah. So
was that suggestion because of the gains, financial gains, or was there some a little bit of social responsibility in there as well? Do you think it was a blend?
I think it was both. Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, we all know that investors at the end of the day, they have to make money. We get that. But what a great investment that they're doing both. It has a great social outcome as well as being a good investment for their, you know, their life down the track. And this particular businessman it'll be his first investment, already talking about possibly doing two or three down the track. Then you've got those investors that are sort of getting closer to retirement age and looking at their super, which is probably not so super, and looking at other ways that they can, you know, ensure a good passive income throughout their retirement years. And yeah, I think this is, you know, right up the top of the list. I don't know of any other investments, property investments that offer this sort of, you know, yields, you know, the fantastic yields that NDIS property does attract. And yes, that's primarily why we get a lot of phone calls, is because, you know, they're attracted by the high yields, but a lot of them are very conscious that it's helping people as well, for sure.
Before we delve deeper into all things SDA, can I please take you way back? Because you
not too far back. I'm not that old, remember, Heather?
No one in this room is old. In fact, we're all just slightly over 50.
That's it. You've got it.
But I did notice that you said that you started in media. You started, as she says in the first line of her bio, Lorraine casually mentions that she started her career running her own newspaper in the Northern Territory and then moved to South Australia and ended up working for News Limited. So in that one very, very short paragraph, I'm sure there is an entire story in there. So I would love you to expand on that period.
Okay, yeah. Certainly, it was an interesting period of my life, moving from Adelaide to Tennant Creek. I was actually offered a job there working in insurance. And while I was there, I was asked if I would help set up a weekly newspaper. Now, bearing in mind, this is in the middle of the Northern Territory, and that certainly had a lot of challenges just in the location. But I got on board and helped with the running of the newspaper, which was a community endeavour at that stage. After a year, it was the Lions Club decided to sell the newspaper. And I said, well, I might be interested in purchasing it. So the ripe old age of 21, I purchased a newspaper business. And, you know, that was started my journey in getting out of my comfort zone. Yeah, but it was an interesting journey. Absolutely. I think that was a start. You know, yes, you can go down the safe road in life and in work and business, but it's not for me. You know, I like to stretch myself and expand. So, yes, that was the start of my media career. After 10 years in the territory, I moved back to Adelaide, sold that business, and I'm very proud to say it's still running. Now it's all digital, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't have the internet in those days. It was all done by hand.
Yep.
Moved to Adelaide and was fortunate to get a job still in the media working for News Limited. Again, invaluable experience working there.
Was that for the Adelaide Advertiser?
But the Adelaide Advertiser and their local community newspapers as well, and worked there, and also was part of the launch of Full Colour into newspapers and magazines as well. After that, I had a change of direction and ended up in working for hospitality for almost about 10 years as well, and marketing, looking after half a dozen hotels. Again, you know, after another 10 years of doing that, working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, it felt like I was ready for a change. And I've always been interested in real estate as far back as I can remember, and had the opportunity to get my real estate certificate. And yeah, did quite a few years in real estate working in Adelaide before I moved up here to Queensland. So a little bit about my background. Yeah, it's been interesting journey.
That's an amazing body of knowledge, an amazing wealth to bring to us, which I think is so important. You know, as someone that's just stepped over the 50-year milestone myself, I find that when we can collaborate. There's so many people in this office that have this diverse background that are all looking to work towards the common goal of more choice and control for people in the NDIS. And as you said with the podcast, it's the collaboration and the generosity of people giving their time that are sat in this room, or me and or Debbie have gone out to interview people in their workspace, being so generous about their body of knowledge rather than holding it in. And so that's one of the things that most impressed me when I came to work here. And I've now been here for 15, 16 months, and the time has gone so quickly because, as you know, every day is different and it's such a dynamic world. So we've gone from Tennant Creek in the Northern Territory, and we've leapt forward to this day in March 2024. I would like to talk a little bit more about the SDA categories. So interesting how we're moving forward and we're thinking about how we can, like you said, buy off the plan, build houses that suit the categories rather than modifying after the fact. So there's got to be a benefit in house and land packages and all the benefits that come with that. You know, things that I look at plans, so extra parking, wider parking, wheelchair accessibility, outdoor areas, things that should be assumed for people to have in a house, but they're not assumed. And so this is gradually, little bit by little bit, we're changing things. So I was just wondering what your opinion is on that.
Well, Heather, first of all, I agree with you. The team that Min and Debbie have got together working here, they are from a great diverse background. I don't think any of us are what you would call salesy people. Yeah, we're more about informing and giving information to people and let them making a decision whether this is right for them or not. But getting back to what you just said, where I worked before, primarily they built the basic high physical support design, you know, the minimum standards. What I like about a lot of the builders here and developers is that they're starting to really think about the participant. And what I mean by that is that I've noticed that a lot of packages include two breakout areas, you know, maybe a media room and a separate living room, you know, maybe a always a lovely alfresco area, maybe a separate outside area as well. So, you know, furniture packages, you know, making the place, as beautiful as possible for the participant, not institutionalized at all. They don't want that. Nobody wants that. So I noticed that builders and developers and us, of course, are steering down that road of making these homes beautiful for the participants, you know, inside and out, and offering things like solar panels, you know, keep the electricity bills down, you know, beautiful alfresco areas, you know, wider hallways, as you said, lots of space for people to enjoy, you know, living there. So, and I think that's a road that we should all continue in. And, you know, at the end of the day, the participant has the total choice. And if you've got two or three houses in an area, I guess that they're going to pick the one that's got all of what I've just mentioned, not the bare basic home.
All the bells and whistles.
Absolutely. Yes. And they deserve it.
They do deserve it. I'm thinking what I can't even imagine what it must be like if you move from an institution, a group home, to having your own house, sharing with one or two other people, of like-minded people, having your own space, having your own room, having your own breakout area. It must just be the most amazing experience I can imagine.
Can I tell you a little story? I've often helped out in disability expos, manning the stand. And in one of the expos that I worked in, I got to talk to a lot of participants. And there was one gentleman telling me his story of how he was stuck in a nursing home for quite a while, and he was desperate to get out and ended up living with a friend in the friend's garage. My heart went out to him, and he said it was terrible living there, but it was marginally better than living in a nursing home. But then he, through his support coordinator, found a SDA home not far from where his family and friends and where he grew up. And he said it literally changed his life. He now has his own home, and they do, you know, this is their forever home in a lot of cases. And so it was lovely to hear his story. And I've heard many similar stories. You often hear people say, oh, but, you know, it's costing the government money. It's not. It's saving them money. It's saving them a lot of money by investing, you know. And that's why the government have made the funding for participants so attractive, is to encourage investors to build more of these homes so that, you know, people are not stuck in nursing homes or in hospitals or group homes. Oh, the thought of living in a group home, three or four other people, is just, you know, just not right mentally, you know, as well from a mental point of view. Yeah, so I could tell you lots of stories, but it really, that's why I like doing those expos, because you do meet all sorts of people when you hear, you know, hear real stories. And that all helps me when I'm talking to investors, giving them those real stories that I've had.
And surely from an investor point of view, having someone that thinks of that house as their forever home means that you're not constantly churning over new tenants. So someone moves in and they love it. They're highly unlikely to want to move out 3 years' time and look for something else if they're completely contented. So there is a degree of consistency, reliability for the investor as well, not having to look for new tenants. There's no cost involved in that. So I can see that as another win.
Absolutely. And look, this is not like a normal residential investment. There's a lot less maintenance issues to start with, because these are all brand new homes.
High quality build as well.
Yeah, yeah, beautifully high quality, very spacious. And, you know, let's face it, these participants are highly unlikely to have, you know, big parties and do damage. And you know, most of them, I would imagine, don't smoke. So there's highly, you know, very low, if any, maintenance issues. And yeah, it is their forever home. They don't have the luxury like we do of saying, look, don't really like this area. I might move to another state, or I might travel for a couple of years, or, you know, start saving for a deposit on their own home. They don't have that luxury. So generally, when they do find their STA home in an area that they like and it fits, you know, their purpose, it is their forever home. So it's up to us to help them on this journey. And that's, you know, the other thing that I do like doing is I've always in any endeavor that I've done, it's been a genuine desire to help people. And, you know, I've always been of the mantra that, you know, act as if you do what you do makes a difference, because it does, 100%. So that's my philosophy. Everything I do, I'm hoping that it will help somebody along the line.
And I think that is a wonderful way to wrap up our conversation today. And Lorraine, I really appreciate you spending this time. And I know that time is very, very valuable in this office and in your life. So please, everyone, listen to this podcast, listen to Lorraine's story. And if you've got any questions, comments, let us know. Drop us a line at the SGA podcast. And lovely to have this chat today, Lorraine.
Lovely. Thanks, Heather.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.